The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Last week we talked about hope and about the ability that we can have to have joy even in times of hope. We said that just what the Bible says, that in reality we don't hope for anything that we already have. And so one of the things that we spent a little bit of time on is realizing that it's really easy to have hope if you don't need hope. It's when you need hope that it's a little bit more of a challenge to stay in hope. And we establish from the Word of God that hope, like the fruit of the Spirit, all fruit of the Spirit, does not come from us, it comes from God. And so we can cultivate hope just like we can cultivate love or joy or peace or kindness or goodness or faithfulness or gentleness or self-control. The reality is that faith gives our hope substance. And so our hope is driven by our faith. And we looked at all that. If you weren't here last week, you can listen to that message online or download it at livingwatersmn.org, as well as all our messages. They're always available at livingwatersmn.org. So how do we stay in hope? How do we stay in faith? How do we keep ourselves postured in a place so that no matter what's going on around me and even maybe inside of me, how do I stay in a place of staying encouraged in the Lord? That's what I want to talk about this morning, because the reality is if we're in a position in our life where we need hope, then we realize that we're waiting. I have a good friend that says wait is a four-letter word. And it's something that we don't do really well. And the reality is that many times we find ourselves in a place of hoping in God or in waiting in God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The real thought there is they who put their hope in God will renew their strength. And we don't like delays, and we really don't like the fact that it's possible, and almost always the delays are divine. We don't like that, because that means he's God and we're not. And we need to realize that in those times, and when we find our time selves in a mess or in a situation of our own doing or just because life happens, we need to know, how do I encourage myself in the Lord? How do I strengthen myself in the Lord? We're not going to go there, but you may remember the story in 1 Samuel chapter 30 of David, who thinks that he made a pact with the Philistines, when in reality, if he'd have thought about it, he killed their giant many years earlier and had made a lifelong enemy. But David is out dealing with the Philistines, and while he's gone, the Amalekites come and raid the place that his women and children are occupying. Some 600 soldiers, men, are out fighting, and while they're out, David's city, or the place where he's occupying, Ziklag, is burned. The wives and children and possessions are all taken, and so this mighty army comes back after a battle. And they find this mess, and everything is gone, and everybody is gone. And it said they wept until they had no more strength to weep. And it says that they wanted to stone David. These mighty men of God that had been with him, all of a sudden, they want to stone him. And in that place, it says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. One of the things that we need to understand is, in order to strengthen yourself in the Lord, you need to be alone. By that I mean, if there's anyone else that could possibly strengthen you in the Lord, go that route. One of the things that you and I can be very thankful for this morning is the church. We should be very thankful for God's institution, God's idea of a church family, wherever that is, whatever that looks like for you. It is so awesome that God has put it in such a way that it's not that often that we need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, because we got brothers and sisters around us who will do that. I believe that one of the primary reasons that we preach on Sunday morning is to strengthen one another in the Lord, to build one another up, to encourage one another, to build faith, to build hope, to build joy, to build peace. But there are those times and there are those seasons when we do need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, in the middle of the week, whatever the situation is. One of the things that we discussed at our pastoral class at Higher Call last Thursday night, Pastor Dave did an awesome job of just sharing some of his pastoral testimony and his journey with God. And we ended up praying for people who had been hurt in the church, been hurt by leaders. So there are those times when that very place that's supposed to be our source of encouragement ends up being the place where we get hurt. We need to know how to encourage ourselves in those times and come out of that. So David was alone. There was no one, it would seem, there was no one that was standing with him. Secondly, he was discouraged himself. He was not a happy camper. It's easy to be encouraged if you're already encouraged. But if you're discouraged, how do you get encouraged? How do you go beyond your circumstances, beyond your situation, and how do you encourage yourself? How do you strengthen yourself in the Lord? I'd like us to turn to Psalms chapter 42 and verse 5. I believe that one of the first steps in strengthening yourself in the Lord is you need to start talking to yourself.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep. You need to begin to talk to yourself. Psalm 42 and verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. There are times, David did it all the time. This particular psalm is not of David, but it's immaterial. We could find a number of places where he did talk to his soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I'll say it again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We need to talk to our soul. Amen. We need to recognize that when we're struggling, it's in the soulish realm. It's not in the spiritual arena. It's in the realm of the body, and it's in the realm of the soul. And we need to be okay with talking to our soul. We need to be okay with grabbing ourselves by the scruff of the neck and saying, okay, come on, we're going to church. You might not be going to church, but you can go to church anytime, anywhere you want to. You can go into the presence of God. You can go into that place where God will meet with you. And we need to learn how to choose to be encouraged. Now, I don't mean fake it. I mean posture yourself so that you can be encouraged. Do you know that you can put on a garment of praise and a spirit of heaviness will lift? Guaranteed. And you might be so religious that you just feel like, well, I'm not going to fake worship if I'm not feeling it. Well, I highly recommend it. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing sacrilegious about faking it. There's nothing wrong with making declarations that really you don't feel in your heart. There's nothing wrong with saying to your wife, I love you, when you really aren't feeling it. In fact, I highly recommend it. I know you can't believe I said that. But it's true. And that's where we live. Well, you do too. And there are those times when it, but what have feelings got to do with it? It's still a fact. I love my wife every day, 24/7. I love my God every day, 24/7. But sometimes my soul is just rebellious. Now, I do want to say this. We do need to take care of our soul, and we do need to take care of our body. It's very important. In our higher call school last year, one of the books that we read was God's Generals. And there are a number of men and women of God who were used mightily of God, who burned out, and the move of God that they were helping to lead burned out because they did not take care of their soul and they did not take care of their body. The Spirit will take you where your body and your soul cannot go. I mean constantly and consistently. And we need to know how. Jesus, there were times when Jesus took his disciples aside. He said, come aside a while. Now, I'm not talking about sowing to the flesh. If you sow to the flesh, you love the flesh, reap corruption. But the reality is that I am spiritual, and there are a lot of things I can do that are spiritual because I do them, like fishing or hunting or camping or whatever it is, vacationing. And one of the things that we need to realize is we're all different. Some of you need more downtime than others. Can I ask you a question? Yes. Do you like yourself as much when you are relaxing as you do when you're achieving something? Are you okay with yourself in seasons and times when you are relaxing as you are when you are achieving something? In other words, do you know how to rest? Do you know how to take care of your body? Do you know how to take care of your soul? And I'm not saying you don't. I'm not asking it because I think you don't. I don't. I just want, we need to consider that. Can I find peace in relaxing, in resting? You know, when it comes to the work of the ministry, we can be very competitive. We can be addicted to the adrenaline of the work of the ministry. It's interesting, in the process of David there encouraging himself in the Lord, he did something. He went and inquired of the Lord. He said, okay, Lord, if we go after them to recover our wives and our children and our possessions, will we be successful? I want to suggest that one of the secrets to staying encouraged is the Lord, in the Lord, is not to get involved in stuff God never involved you in. If you're here this morning and your picture of God is someone who runs you ragged, you're not in touch with God. His yoke is easy and his load is light and he is gentle. And sometimes the drive to get stuff done is just a culture that's crept into the kingdom that is not kingdom culture.
That's right. Yeah.
We heard this morning, prophetically, God is going to do some amazing things, and I believe that. And then right in the midst of it, he says, so rest. Yeah. Oh, really? You know what he's saying, don't you? He could do it without you. And he could do it without me. But he's not going to. He's going to involve us. And we're going to have our own little part. I believe David knew how to rest. David was a man of war. He killed a lion, he killed a bear, and he killed Goliath. And then it comes time to kill Saul, and he doesn't do it. He was a killer. He's a trained killer. In fact, when it come time to build the temple, God says, no, sorry, you can't build it. You've got blood on your hands. You've been a man of war. And yet, David knew how to inquire of the Lord and listen to the voice of God. And so must we. Jesus said it this way, and we tend to invert sometimes what he's saying. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only say what I hear him saying. Do you realize that there's a lot of things that went undone and unsaid by Jesus because of that? So, David's 600 soldiers, after inquiring of the Lord and get the word that, yes, if you go and get it, you'll get it. You'll be successful. They head out. They get partially there. It comes time to cross a river. And 200 of the 400 are too spent and too tired and said, we can't go on. So only 400 went forward. They won back all the wives, all the children, all the possessions. And they come back and the 200 are waiting. And the 400 say to the 200, because they had spoiled the land. They had not only gotten what was theirs, they got what belonged to the Amalekites. And they said, you shall not have any of the spoil. And David says, wait a minute. And he invokes, I believe, a principle that's a kingdom principle. And the principle is basically this: they who stay with the stuff reap in the reward along with those who fought the battle. That's not fair! I don't really care if it's fair, it's kingdom. One of the most awesome things about being part of a church is the principle of solidarity. The battle that you fight and win, I get to reap the reward of it. The battle that I fight and win, you get to reap the reward of it. We're one family. When one member suffers, we all suffer. But guess what? When one member gets victory, we all get victory. And there's this wonderful place of being part of something bigger than ourselves. You want to stay encouraged in the Lord. Recognize that you're bigger than, or you're part of something that's bigger than you. But I want to suggest that before we ever talk to God about where we're at and getting encouraged in the Lord, we need to talk to ourselves, and we need to pull ourselves up short. We need to remind ourselves of who God is and what he's done. David wasn't on autopilot, and neither should we be. See, it's possible in the society and in this day in which we live to be addicted to adrenaline. I really believe that. That's why sometimes it's hard to sit in his presence. That's even though we heard that prophetically this morning. Sometimes it's hard for I wrote it down. Sit with me. Imagine that. This God who's going to bring this awesome move of God and this awesome revival, he says, oh, sit with me. I believe that we are in a day when God is calling us to himself in new and special ways. Some of the days that was prophesied about and that Luke was talking about, the awesome days of days gone by when people were getting transformed all around us and all kinds of stuff. Forget those days. They're better days. They're going to be, I believe it's going to be very different. Because I believe instead of being a lot of spectators, there's going to be a lot of participants. A lot of participants. You and I will be in the thick of what God is doing in our spheres. In fact, it's already happening. I personally believe, you know, we had some awesome moves of God in the mid-90s to the 2000s. And I personally, in meetings and, you know, 3 weeks of meetings, 5 months of meetings, blah, blah, blah. Big deal. I personally believe God is doing more right now than he was doing in those days. But it spread so thin through so many people in so many different venues. And it's not about a personality. It's not about a certain procedure. And it's not about a certain process. So you can't really put your finger on it. And the only one that gets the glory is God. And it's escalating. And part of the key for you and I to be involved in it is to learn how to fight when he says to fight and to rest when he says to rest. To hold fast when he says to hold fast. It's really awesome that you can kill a lion and a bear and a giant. But can you put your sword in the sheath and rest when you get a chance to kill Saul? For no other reason except God said. Do you like yourself as much when you're relaxing as you do when you're achieving? Just asking. Verse 6. We'll read verse 5 again. Why are you downcast, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God. Now he's talking to God. But guess what he talks about? His soul. He's going to tell God something as if God didn't know. O God, my soul is cast down within me. I've learned this. It is really good to be honest with God and tell him where you're at. And you don't tell him where you're at because you think he don't know. You tell him where you're at because it has to come out of your own mouth. See, when the writer here says, oh, my God, my soul is downcast within me. You know what that's code speak for? Help! I'm not doing very good on the inside. We need to be comfortable with that. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hebron and from the hill of Mazar. Deep calls on to deep, and we could read on. He says, I will remember you. I will remember what you've done. I'll remember who you are. The exhortation and the prophetic word to us this morning is don't get your eyes on revival. Get your eyes on the revivalist, the one who brought the revival, the God who brought it, and he's bringing it again. We talked about it last week. Our hope must be in God. Not what God can do, in him, the person, God. In fact, I'll say it even a little different. Our hope has to be in more than God. It has to be in the Lord. What's the difference? There can be a lot of difference. Have you ever noticed that in our culture today, out there, and even in media and all of that, a lot of people are comfortable talking about God. But exchange the word God with the word Lord. And not so many people are comfortable because the word Lord implies an authority in my life. I want to strengthen myself in the Lord. We need to strengthen ourselves in our Lord, in our King, in the one who's got our lives in his hands. Because as soon as I began to do that, I began to recognize I'm going to be okay. Because he's with me. And it's just not an ethereal God. It's personal. He is my Lord. And my life is in his hands. So then, how do we strengthen ourselves in the Lord? We're going to set about to answer that a little bit, but I want to put out right out a disclaimer right at the front. There is no formula. In fact, I want you to tell me, how do you connect with God? What are some of the ways? Just shout it out. Prayer. Praise. The Word.
Nature.
Who said that? Awesome.
Silence.
Dance.
Motorcycle.
That was your pastor. Motorcycle.
Laughter.
Who said laughter?
Bicycle.
Taking a walk. Driving a tractor.
Feeling peaceful while you ride your bike and you can pray.
Feeling peace while you ride your bike and you can pray. You talking about a bicycle or a... Yeah. I kind of thought so, but...
Oh, it's just like when I ride, I just feel really peaceful and everything, and then I can start praying to God.
Yeah.
That's really a peaceful thing for me.
That is awesome. And we need to know that that's okay. We need to know that that's spiritual because he's spiritual. When Pastor Dave says Pastor Dave basically said the same thing. We need to know it's because we make those activities spiritual. And anyone else? Any more? What was that?
Quilting.
Gardening.
Cutting the lawn.
Walking, was it? Walking.
Shooting a gun.
Power, power, power. Go ahead, make my day.
In my kayak.
Out in a kayak.
Playing with my grandkids.
Playing with grandkids.
Fishing.
You can be in the Spirit no matter what you're doing. There's your formula. And some of those will not work for you, I guarantee it. And you need to be okay with that. Others of them will, and there may be some that haven't yet been mentioned, but the reality is that it is all about intimacy with God. Turning your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. The Lord dropped this into me this week, and I just want to run it by you. I know that it's a principle that's true for me, because as soon as I heard him say it, I put it to the test in my own life. Revelation chapter 2. And verse 4, it looks like. Nevertheless, this is John writing on behalf of the Lord, the word of the Lord to the church of Ephesus. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. That's not a threat. I just want to look. I want to have us look at this process. As I was just pondering, how do I encourage myself in the Lord? The Lord dropped something in me, out of this scripture and the one that follows. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. I think there's benefit in remembering where we were. Repent. If there's a need to repent, repent. If you're discouraged and you need to repent, repent. If you don't need to, don't. Goodness sakes. And do the first works. I want to suggest to you, and I know I've put it to the test. That's what the Lord dropped in me, and I want to suggest to you that we need to pay attention to the first works that we first entered into when we became born again. What are the first things that you gravitated toward? What are the first things that arrested you? For me, God arrested me with His Word. I'm not a reader, or wasn't. I wasn't an academic person. I couldn't sit still long enough to look at a book until we invited Jesus Christ into our life one night, and then I began to gobble up the Word. I had a supernatural hunger for the Word to the point where Marcy'd have to come and get me. It's time for supper. But what is it for you? For you, it may have been some of the things you listed. It may have been music. It may have been the body of Christ. It may have been people. It may have been being in every meeting you could possibly be in. It might, you know, I don't want to list what it was, but I do want you to consider what were the first works in those first in that first love experience. What is the thing that just you couldn't get enough and that just drew you in? And that God used. I want to suggest, and this is what He dropped into me this week, I want to suggest that same thing will be used of Him to get you out of discouragement. Whatever it was, if it was music and you're discouraged, I encourage you to saturate yourself with music like you did back then. If it was the body of Christ and getting with people, I encourage you to saturate yourself with the body. If it was the Word, saturate yourself with the Word. If it was alone time, if it was just you and Him, whatever. No formula. But what was it? I want to suggest that, and it calls it works, and it is, it in the literal meaning is tasks performed? What task, what were you drawn so deeply into? You might be here this morning and the reality is you don't really know or don't really remember that first love experience when you got born again. But somewhere along in your walk, you went through a season where God just arrested you. What was it that got a hold of you? That's okay. You don't have to take her out. She's just praising God. What were those first tasks? What was it? Just asking. I'm giving you time to just ponder it. Now, you may find that I'm full of it. And that for you, that whatever it was, just don't turn your crank anymore. But it might if you get in the depths of depths. Don't cast it away, that tool, whatever it was, whatever aspect. I know I've heard some people say when they first got saved, they just went crazy with winning souls and praying for people. And maybe, just maybe, I found this. We can get so seasoned in God that we tend to pull back and say no to things without really considering and asking God. Whether it be whatever, an activity, whatever. And I think that sometimes we say no to things that actually would be food to our soul. Yeah. And to our spirit. Because here's the deal. When you and I first got saved, God was working big time in the realm of our soul. And so it's good to know, how does he do that? I want to read to you a portion of scripture. It's just one page away in my Bible, the book of Jude. Therefore, beloved, building yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage us that we have the ability to pray in tongues, to pray in the Spirit at times when we don't know what to pray and we don't know the answers. We can put our mind in neutral and engage our spirit and just let our prayer language flow. It's one of the most awesome weapons that God has given to us, and I want to, I'll speak for myself. I don't use it as often as I should and could. And God was challenging me with that this week as I was preparing for this message as well. Maybe it's true for you, maybe it isn't. But the reality is that there is a work that goes on when I pray in tongues. Because my spirit prays, but my understanding hasn't got a clue what I just said. So I cannot goof it up. And I'm speaking mysteries to God, the Bible says. I'm speaking of things I know nothing of. He knows. And it's not that it's a mystery to him, but it's a mystery to me, what I just communicated to him. By the way, I personally do not believe when you pray in tongues, no matter how agitated and worked up you get, I do not believe you're speaking to the devil. You're speaking to God. Now, you might be speaking to God about the devil. But understand this, you are speaking to God and you have a direct line with God. It's between you and him and there's a divine exchange going on. And the Bible guarantees that when we do that, be sure of this, you are edified. Amen. You are built up. And so I do want to remind us, we are a spirit-filled people for a purpose. And when we know not how to pray as we ought, the Spirit gives groanings that cannot be uttered, that are unintelligible. And God can put within us a prayer that we are unfamiliar with in the sense of knowing what we're talking about. Praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourself in the love of God.